Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, I can see why they would say that, but no, I'd rather have the guy on base.
I would rather
You're
have the guy
me
on
if
base.
That situation comes up 55 times in a game, and I can have the guy on base 55 times.
Sure.
I'm going to score a hell of a lot of runs in that scenario.
I would think so, too.
The whole point of the guys who are against that, and you hear this on the broadcast all the time because they'll overshift on belt. You don't like them shifting against you? Lay down the bunt and beat it out.
Bunt,
there's
walk
no
your
one
hit.
Over there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big fan of that. And I don't see enough guys who are left-handed hitters dropping the bunt down and taking first base. And everyone tells me a walk's as good as a hit. In today's game, you take eight pitches, nine pitches, or you have a nine-pitch at-bat, and he drew a walk. That's a great at-bat. Well, a bunt, you're on first base. It's the same thing.
It's a Carmelo Anthony situation. Anthony's all upset that he still doesn't have a place in the NBA. He had a comment like a week or two ago where he came out and said, there's no way I'm bad enough, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm bad enough that I can't find a way on an NBA roster. Melo's biggest problem is that he never observed what was happening around him. What's the distance of the three-point line? It's like 22 feet, right? Something like 22, 23 feet?
23.9.
So, okay, so let's call it 23.9. Melo loves the 22.9 jumper, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he goes back one extra foot, he completely changes the game through analytics, right? Completely changes the game because he has a chance of scoring three instead of two. He never was willing to adjust. He insists on taking the absolute worst shot in basketball, which is a 22-foot two-point jumper.
Yeah.
Go back one more foot or get closer, but don't stand there and take that shot. That worked in basketball for the longest time until Steph and the Warrior three-point revolution came along, and then guys like Melo became dinosaurs. And Melo, so stuck in his ways with all his money, thought to himself, I'm Carmelo Anthony. I don't need to change. And then the league didn't have a place for him. And now he looks around and he goes, I'm good enough. Maybe you are, but you're not willing to change. Teams need to see that you are willing to adjust. Do you think it's a coincidence that Vince Carter's playing again this year? That Vince Carter's just the luckiest basketball player to ever grace the planet because everyone thinks he's so nice? Vince Carter adjusted. He doesn't need to be the star anymore. He understands. Veteran mentor. I'm going to get a few minutes. I'll do what I can. But I'm here to talk to the young guys, to coach them up, to show them the way of road travel in the NBA. It's brilliant that Travis Schlenk brought him back. Brilliant. Because there's so many young guys in Atlanta. And young guys in the NBA, 18, 19, they got all this money. You can lose those guys quick, real quick. You got to be able, and this is Bowman with a young team, you got to be able to coach them up, mentor them, show them the ways. You know what life was like in New Orleans as a rook versus what life was like in San Diego as a vet.
No question. No question.
A lot of
at
distractions
all.
In both places.
Absolutely.
Lahaina's is a good time in San Diego.
You better believe it. It still is. But yeah.
Marcy was just there taking pictures.
Yeah. Oh, she. Where isn't she at?
She had a hell of a summer. Congratulations, Marcy. We love you.
We do love her. I'll let you go ahead and get legal.
Wow.
Look at you.
Look who's, what's going on here?
On top of things here.
Very authoritarian of you. So sorry I didn't get legal sooner, Lorenzo. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, but with a twist. Jim Cozumore in for Dibs. Dibs on vacation for the rest of the week. We wish him the best up in Bandon Dunes as he takes on one of the greatest golf complexes on the entire planet. Randy Cross, the three-time Super Bowl champ on the Dial Pad guest line in 28 minutes at 8:30. Eric Davis at 9:05. Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet is up on the website now at 957thegame.com. Who wins Game 2 of the Bay Bridge Series? Your options? The A's or the Giants? Coz, we'll start with you. A's or Giants tonight?
I'm going A's. I'm going, but it's a slugfest. Take the over, whatever it is. Slugfest. A's are going to do it, and I'm hoping Canna hits one and celebrates with a bat flip and gets everybody's panties in a wad.
Okay, so you're taking it a whole
Yeah, I want this to mean something. I like series that mean something. It's a two-gamer. They have to play two more in Oakland. You get an A's win today with a little tweak at the end. I don't know. I just think it'd be a little bit more interesting. Was Madison Bumgarner, by the way, waving at the A's yesterday when he struck a guy out to end an inning? He was walking off the mound, or was he waving to someone in the crowd? Did anyone see that with his glove?
His
glove, he was waving with his glove. And was he waving at the player that he just struck out? Was he waving at the A's? If someone knows the I don't know, maybe the story behind it. Maybe he was just waving to his wife in the crowd, for all I know.
They hit the text line and let us know about that.
But he struck out.
Chosen Auto Body text line 95795.
Thank you very much for clarifying. We do things orderly here, sir. But that's what my hope is, an A's win with a can of home run with a tweak involved.
Can it be another person hitting a home run with a bat flip? Or does
Canna,
it have to be Canna?
Canna tends to be a guy who's got a little edge. Like, I just don't see Olsen bat flipping. I don't see Chapman bat flipping. I don't see KD bat flipping. But, boy, I'd certainly love to see Canna because he's got a little history of it with the the Giants.
What about Piscotty, maybe? You know, another
Bay Area guy. He's another good guy.
He was already screwing around last night. Bumgarner's in his windup, and he's stepping out of the box calling for time.
That's good gamesmanship.
That is already screwing around last night.
That's good gamesmanship, Joe.
Stay in the box. This is the 1940s, okay? They play baseball a certain way around here. You see, Bumgarner got all fired up, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, this could be a problem if he doesn't settle down. Three pitches later, Piscotty got him. I'm not saying it was by design. I'm sure there was a real reason he was stepping out, but it got Bumgarner riled up.
Exactly, and he ended up homering two pitches later.
Anna, who do you have today?
A tie
is not an option, sorry.
No ties. Ties do not work with me. Don't worry, I don't wear the split cap.
I do. I'm a split cap guy.
Yeah, you can say it.
No, you're not. You're just trying to get people worked up.
No. I like both teams.
No.
I'm pro. If someone wants to bring the split cap back, I will be the model for it.
Please don't.
I'll wear it to the games in Oakland.
I'll burn it. Okay.
Don't burn it while it's on my head.
Why'd you switch, Anna?
Why?
Because I like both teams.
So why would you wear the split cap?
Because I like both teams to do well.
Wrong.
Here's how I usually root this series. You want to know how I root this series? I root when they play it at Third and King, I kind of want the A's to win. When they played at the Coliseum, I kind of want the Giants to win.
What a troll.
That's how I like to win the game.
Seriously. That's the definition right there.
That's the truest fan.
It's not the truest fan.
The truest fan.
You're rooting against the people in the building. That's the thing. You just want to see everyone leave miserable, which I'll tell you, there is
I'm playing your side of the street.
There is some subtle pleasure.
Awesome. Joe's like, yeah, that is.
Well, I remember it's going to hit home to him. Sunday Night Football, the first time I was ever in Chicago, it was the Eagles were in town taking on the Bears, and the Eagles won that game. And that was one of the greatest experiences, walking into the city of Chicago in my Eagles gear after the Eagles had ruined it for the Bears. Because Bears fans are good fans. They're the ones that, like, you're not going to talk trash on the way out, right? You're going to be respectful. You're an idiot if you're going to run your mouth on the road. Like, that's just, you would never do that at the Collie. You wouldn't do it at Levi's. You don't do it at certain places. You're leaving Chicago. Yeah. The jersey speaks for itself.
Right.
You realize you're walking out a Soldier. That's enough. But just like the heartbreak of Bears fans who had a chance, Cutler missed Johnny Knox down the sidelines late. It would have won the game.
Cutler.
Missed him. He was wide open. He was deep. He overthrew him. And you could just, these people were so heartbroken. It was so beautiful. You could figuratively taste the tears. It's such a great thing. I love it.
I wouldn't be surprised if literally you could have tasted them. It's just the way it is in that town. A loss, and it would have been the same way if
you
the Bears.
The tears in the jardinier sauce.
You're right. But it probably would be the same if they had played the game in Philadelphia. And the Eagles had missed the guy.
Would have been angrier. The great thing about the Chicago fan is they get angry and passionate, but they don't take it that step too far. In Philadelphia, you have the possibility it goes one step too far. Boston, it could go one step too far. New York, I saw it go one step too far when they met each other in, I think, the divisional round that one year.
Yeah.
I zipped up the coat.
Really?
Yeah, there's not.
What was that
this
game?
Was at Old Meadowlands. This is at that trash heap.
What was that game in Philly you said you went to and the guy, one of your buddies, were so pissed because... when Kauffman picked ball, and you said that you guys left out of the stadium.
Oh, no, that was at the new MetLife.
Okay.
That was the Miracle to Meadowlands part two. With Kauffman. So that was Michael Vick. He led him all the way down there. That was like 28. He leads him back in the fourth, and it's a tie game, and they're kicking. They put DeSean Jackson back there.
This
He's not the regular
story,
returner.
Coach. Yeah.
So this is chaos because the Giants are going to blow this game, and Kauffman tells the punter beforehand, do not kick it to Jackson. Just kick the damn thing out of bounds. Do not let this happen. Westbrook got us back in the day. The Eagles have a history of running kicks back against the Giants. Vaiseka Hema, it just goes all the way back.
Wow, that's a good name.
This idiot kicks it right down the middle of the field. And you see Coughlin, the ball hasn't even gotten near Jackson yet. And Coughlin is halfway out onto the field to cut the punter because he knows what's going to happen. And Jackson catches it, step left, two steps back, finds a seam and is gone. Gone. Scores the game-winning touchdown, walk-off fashion, Eagle dog pile. After the game, I grew up 60 miles from Philly, 90 miles from New York City. So you got fans of everything there. And after the game, a group of people that I had met up there, they had taken a giant limo. There were like 20 of them. Most of them were Giants fans. They were literally fighting each other in the limo.
That's awesome.
Because
they
were so drunk. The one hates the Eagles so much. His entire life is about hating Philly sports. That's the number one thing in his life. He was unwilling to accept the Giants had lost that game because you know the verbal abuse you're going to take for the next week. He was so unwilling to accept the fact that they lost, he kept telling everyone in the limo, we didn't lose that game. We didn't lose that game. And no one else wanted to talk about it. And the one guy eventually told me, he's like, Jim, shut up. We lost the game. We didn't lose. And they started fighting.
That's outstanding.
A couple Eagle fans were in the limo. They're filming it. Giant fans fighting each other.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's a different
passion. To answer your question, yeah, you don't want to really taste the tears in Philly because it's just, you know.
And we won't get that today at the game, no matter who wins. We're not going to get any fights outside the game.
But I would
wear the split cap.
No.
I would wear the split cap.
Up for a day game?
And people need to know, I have never, ever, ever supported the split cap. Ever. And you guys know this.
You did. That's why
never
it takes
did.
Me
no,
sense.
I didn't.
Back in the day,
you
did
right there.
You said, oh, it's okay.
No, I did it. Never,
that's
ever.
Why the text line knows. They
why,
remember.
Oh, the text line remembers everything? No, text line, you did not remember that. That's the one thing I've been the most definitive about. And you know that. Come on.
Let me go out on a limb here. You're taking the A's today?
Yeah, I think they have a better lineup.
Yeah, I know.
No, seriously, they do have a better lineup. Both, I think it's going to be mashing. Just like Jim said, they're both going to be mashing today. Don't have great pitchers starting today. So I think that when it comes to the lineup, the A's have a better lineup.
All of us are convinced there's going to be so many runs. We should bet the under. It's going to be 2-1. 2-1 in 14. 14 innings, yeah. 15 hours. Big man.
So true.
What are you doing today?
Yeah, I've been on even yesterday, Joe. I picked the Giants, we all did, and I just said, hey, this is going to be a 3-1 series. I think the Giants got that one yesterday, and I think that the A's win the rest of the games. Yes, so it's A's.
All right, very nicely done. Those picks brought to you by Fremont Bank. After the under cashes, because everyone's taking the over, go to Fremont Bank with your winnings. Full service banking, no compromises. More hoops. We got to get to this news that's coming out of Santa Clara. And the fact that if you go around the NFL right now, not as bad for the Niners as you may think, because there's some crazy stuff that's breaking. We're going to update you on all that. Randy Cross, more baseball, your calls. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Canon Megatank Printers. Great pitcher's duel between Madison Bumgarner and Brett Anderson last night. Game one of the Bay Bridge series, though, went to the San Francisco Giants with a 3-2 win. Giants are 3.5 games back in the wild card race, while the A's are 3 back in the race. How does this rivalry rank in baseball, and what do you think of the Bridge Trophy? Joe, Lowe, and Coes will continue to discuss and want to hear from you. On to football, 49ers getting ready to face Denver, and with all the injuries to the Niners' D-line in the preseason, how will this affect the team in the regular season? The guys will discuss and talk to two former Niners and Super Bowl champions, Randy Cross. He's coming up at 8:30. Then Eric Davis will hop on at 9:30 plus. If things don't work out with Jimmy Garoppolo, could we see Tom Brady come to the Niners? One of his former teammates thinks it's a possibility. The guys will discuss. I'm Anna Kukadakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you with us today. Joe Lowe and Jim Cozumore here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs on vacation in Bandon Dunes, the greatest golf complex on the planet. We hope he has a tremendous time. Randy Cross at 8:30, Eric Davis at 9:05. Here's a question for you as we get into some football talk today. So one of the degenerate gamblers that I happen to follow on Twitter, and there are quite a few, recently put together a study. I'm not going to give you all the details of this. I'm just going to give you the thesis. Every year, the sports books release win totals for NFL teams. They do it for all sports, but we're just focusing on the NFL here. And what a win total is that they will give you a number of wins that you can bet over or under. For example, for the Niners, this year the win total is 8. Do you bet that the Niners will go over 8 wins, meaning win 9 or more, or will they win under 8 games, meaning 7 or fewer? If it lands on 8, it's a push. Everyone gets their money back. So you have these for all types of teams. Very popular bets. A lot of the pros stay away from them because it's essentially an interest-free loan. You're going to tie up your bankroll for, 5 months, give the books a free loan so they can use your money however they want before they have to pay it off. That's neither here nor there at the moment. Point being, this study shows the following. The majority, and I don't have the exact percentage, but the majority of these teams, when it comes to their win total, fall within plus or minus 2 of the number. There isn't a wide variance. So you won't see a lot of win totals at 6, and then the team goes 12-4. You won't see a lot of win totals at 10, and then those teams go 5-11. The reality is if your win total is 8 like the Niners, more likely than not, you're going to fall within plus or minus 2, meaning the high end 10 wins, the low end 6 wins. Point of this conversation is that I want to ask you, what's more likely? If the Niners have to fall within plus or minus 2 of their win total, which is 8, are they more likely to win 10 games this year, or low, are they more likely to win 6 games this season?
I think more likely, I'm going to take that over, Joe. I'm going to go on the other side, the 10. I think
so you're still very bullish with this team.
I am, and I think that we should all start getting even a little bit more bullish, especially after we saw from two rookies. And I know people will say, well, godly, they're rookies, and they didn't play necessarily with the ones. Why would you say that? Jalen Hurd, when you saw the way that how physical this young man, how hard he ran yards after catch into contact, and you saw Deebo Samuels, you saw him being able to stretch the field. You saw him on the end of round in the first quarter against the ones, picked up 14 yards. You saw the guy go up and snatch the ball out of the sky and it went up for a jump ball and still get it. That's want to. That's showing that you have the want to. That's showing that you have the ability to make these type of plays. You have two guys, I'm telling you, you got two guys that are going to get significant amount of time in a position that you looked for last year, and no one really stood out. I think you got your Pettis, hopefully he'll come around, but you got two guys. I think that Deebo is going to be a playmaker, and got Goodwin this year who's, you know, showing the speed. The guy can fly up and down the field. So you got the deep threat, you got Kittle. I think that this team is going to be far better than they were last year. I think when you look at what they did defensively, you didn't go out and get one, but you got two pass rushers. Last year, you didn't have two dominant pass rushers. You had an inside pass rusher and Buckner, but now you got two guys that from the outside, one had a double-digit sacks. When you're talking about Dee Ford, you went out and you brought that guy in. And you went out and got better at the linebacker position, Quan Alexander. You went out and you got 5 new players on your defense and guys that can play at a high level. Hell, you guys were hearing everything that was coming out of camp when you're talking about Joe Staley, talking about how good this young Nicky Bosa can be and Richard Sherman. Those guys aren't going to give high praise to anyone if they didn't see it, especially Richard Sherman. And Joe is the guy who's going to get some daily saying, this guy can be special. For him to say that, you have to look at this team and say, this team got better. They upgraded at positions that they needed to. You can't. I don't see that this team only wins 6. So for those reasons, I'm pushing more toward that 10 if you had to make me go out on the line.
Okay, Coz, the gambling study is as follows to recap. Most teams will finish within plus or minus 2 of their Vegas win total. The Vegas win total for the Niners is 8. Are they more likely to win 10 or 6 this season?
Can I just change the wording and say more than 8 or less than 8?
Sure.
Because if I say it that way.
So basically just the win total.
Yeah, so if I just say it that way. I know, but if you give me 6 or 10,
segment
it's a little
over.
Bit different. No, it's not. So I'm looking at what they have to play with. And the teams that they're playing, I don't see a lot of teams that are worse that I can say that's a worse team than they were last year. Even the Bengals, I can't say that right now, that they're worse than they were last
Why
year.
Why can't you?
Because you have a new head coach, and I don't know how they're going to respond to
They don't have their starting receiver.
They were so bad in that preseason game. I bet on them. I watched that damn game.
Really?
They fumbled two punts that led to KC touchdowns.
They're sloppy.
They were so bad. I'm not saying they will be this season, but good grief.
They're bad, and they're going to be bad.
Okay.
Trash performance in that game. I'm still mad about that.
Your starting receiver, Coz, is going to be out probably 6 to 8 weeks.
Is Green going to miss the first? Is he going to miss that 49er game?
He's getting surgery, ankle surgery.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You talking about A.J. Green?
Yeah.
I knew he was out with the ankle.
Yeah,
I didn't
but
know
it was cleanup, right? It wasn't supposed to be. It still had him on a timetable that he was likely to miss the game.
Yeah,
likely. I don't think it's.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should probably operate under the assumption that A.J. Green does not play in that game.
And they got
fair enough.
Kyle Shanahan should not operate under that assumption. We're loose. We'll go ahead and do that.
Fair enough.
Tampa.
Let's talk about Tampa.
Do you like Bruce Arians or you don't like Bruce Arians?
I love
Bruce Arians. Okay. I think they're better with Bruce Arians.
Me too.
And I don't care who the quarterback is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not really all that much of a revelation.
Are the Steelers better without AB, without Le'Veon Bell hanging on their head? You think Tomlin's better or not? You think the head coach?
Tomlin's better than Shanahan? What's the question?
No, what I'm saying is you think the Steelers are better?
Yes. Right now you have to say the Steelers are better.
Okay.
You have to say that. You have to give them the benefit of the doubt based on what they've shown and what the Niners are showing.
And I just mean better as a team themselves. Everybody has gotten better. I think that I look at who they're playing against.
Bell didn't play for him last season. Some people feel AB's addition by subtraction. I don't agree with that. But Juju is going to be... Look, the Steelers find receivers. They got another young kid in here who everyone's already raving about. Look at their history over the last 15 years. It's like Hines Ward into Mike Wallace, into Emmanuel Sanders, into Antonio Brown, into Juju, into this next guy. And I'm probably missing a few. And not only that, when all these guys leave, they end up they don't do a whole lot elsewhere. They get a ton out of these dudes. Santonio Holmes was when they drafted. How the hell did the Steelers draft so many good wide receivers, by the way?
You tell me. They get some beef.
Is there anyone that does a better job at one singular position than the Steelers do with wide receivers?
It's pretty amazing. Fair enough. They have a pretty darn good quarterback, too. If you think that Ben Roethlisberger can keep slinging it the way he has, then you're going to guess that they're going to have a receiver that can step in for AB. But all the way up and down their schedule, I see teams that I can make a case for. They're better this year as a team. I'm not saying compared to the 49ers.
Washington Redskins, are they better as a team?
That might be the only blip, right? You think Arizona's better? I can make the case that I can expect Green Bay to be better because Aaron Rodgers, I don't expect him to get hurt. You can't play that theory that, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers, he's going to get hurt. They're better.
They're off the bye in that game, too. I hate that. The Niners have to play Carolina and Green Bay coming off byes. And those are home games. They lose a strategic advantage there. And Carolina is going to be better than people realize. This show is telling people that first.
And they've got Arizona on the short week and a travel. Their Thursday game is going to be in Arizona.
Pronounced short on this program.
How do you say that?
It's a shark week.
It's a shark week.
Not shark week, which just happened. That was awesome, like usual.
On the shark week, you've got to travel. I think they're going to get 7. I don't think they're going to get to 8 this year. I think I can make the case they get to 7, and I still think it's a successful year. I don't think that the 49er faithful will say that's successful. It's hard to double your win total in the National Football League.
I would say injuries, even with injuries, they'll get 7. So at 7 is that's my
to you that's your bare but that's your basement.
7 and 9. I don't know if I'm getting excited about that.
I'm not excited.
Three more games than you did last year. You're not excited about
turnover differential alone. I had this study that I share with these guys. So the Niners finished dead last in turnover differential last year. I believe the number was minus 25. If you go back to 2002, which is when the league expanded to 32 teams and they shifted to the 8-division format. The team that has finished last in turnover differential comes back the next year on average to win about 3.7 more games per year just based on that. If you go over minus 20 in turnover differential, which is even rarer, which is what the Niners did, you're winning now an average of about 4 more games per year. Puts you up about 4 more games in that category, and you see a dramatic shift. There are just analytical regressions that will be taking place that are going to put the Niners in a much better situation this year. Plus, if you have a healthy upgrade at quarterback, that's definitely worth something as well. So barring catastrophic injuries, looking at everything combined, 7 is as tough as the schedule is, especially the last 6 games.
Ooh.
There are teams on that schedule that right now we don't respect that are going to be better than expected.
Right.
And there are teams on there that we're worried about that are going to be worse than expected. Circle New Orleans.
I was just looking at that one.
Right now, that's the one where they're like, that's their biggest underdog spot of the season. That would not surprise me as a game that when we get to the New Orleans game, we're talking about how that could be winnable. That's one I would circle that could be more of a plus. The Carolina one is more of a negative. I think a lot of people look at that and go, yeah, we could win that home game against the Panthers. Watch out. Watch out. Cam had a good season last year, and the second half of it, he was battling a shoulder injury. He's going to be better. McCaffrey's lethal. They redid the entire defensive line. The Carolina game is going to be tougher than expected. Arizona's the one that worries me a little bit. I'm thinking they're going to stink. I'm thinking. But if somehow Kyler Murray just goes full Baker Mayfield in year one, and Cliff Kingsbury, which I would not bet is going to happen, turns into Freddie Kitchens, now all of a sudden you got to worry about every team in the division. That's the biggest problem for the Niners. Every year they have to worry about everyone. Every year New England has to worry about nobody in their division. That's the big difference. You got to have someone in your division that you can beat up on.
Arizona just doesn't have the talent that Cleveland had. Arizona's a
good... I think they should be a doormat, but they might not be.
I'm not saying they're going to be doormat. I'm saying that this Arizona team is going to show improvement because they got a guy at the quarterback position. But I just don't think that they have the talent that Cleveland had to make those leaps. And Coles, you're talking about this team can't jump that far. Look no further than Chicago Bears. They went out and got, where'd they go? Khalil Mack. You went and got a guy.
They went worst to first.
Right. So I here's what people would say. Oh, you're being homer. No, I'm just saying you went out and got
the Niners didn't get Khalil Mack, though.
You went and got two pass rushers. I'll make this bet with you. I think you got comparable, if not better. Because here's the thing. Do you want to make a bet that D Ford and Nicky Bosa have more sacks than Khalil Mack? I'll take that.
I'm just wondering what that line would be.
That's what I'm taking that.
Let's you know what?
No,
let's
no, no.
Stew.
I'm at, no, no, no.
Let's
you,
stew.
You stew on it.
There's
you
stuff going on the show because I'm on point. I'll stew on it, okay?
All right, let it marinate. I think you're probably going to have to offer a spread there. I think you have the edge right now, Lo. I think you have the edge. If Mac gets 15 sacks, that's a huge season, right?
Right.
Oh, that's a massive
season. So that's
season.
Like 8 from
Thank
4,
you.
7 from
that's
Bosa.
That's all I was saying.
Okay.
All right. Interesting. Very interesting. Dial pad guest line is where we're headed next. 3-time Super Bowl champ, 3-time Pro Bowler, former Niner offensive lineman Randy Cross joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Randy, it's always a pleasure. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. Thank you.
Like usual, we love talking Niners with you. Let's start with this. Did you get a chance to study much of that first preseason game? And if so, did you have any general takeaways as to what came across in the first 60 minutes?
I got pieces of it. I didn't get a chance to see the whole thing, but anytime the 49ers, the Cowboys, it's a highlight. You know, it's preseason is a weird thing to me. And I think it's really hard to evaluate personally because you're better off being in the practice field than you are in the stadium, which is unfortunate for the people that actually pay the tickets to be in the stadium.
You're absolutely right. Practice is definitely get more out of practice than you do in a game. You get to see what guys are about. When you're talking about preseason, where are you at on that, Randy? I mean, you're hearing about a lot of coaches. You heard Kyle Shanahan saying it's too much. It should be maybe two games, one to evaluate the young talent and one to get knocked the rust off. Where are you at when it comes to restructuring preseason and what these teams should do?
Well, I think that's where it's headed. I really don't think they need four. I didn't think we needed six back in the dark ages when we did that. But, you know, two would be the right amount with the camps involved. It's not like you're missing out on contact and hitting. You can still do things full speed without beating the crud out of people. And I think what it leaves you is leaves you a chance to possibly expand the regular season by a game or so and add an extra week, an extra bye. Which, you know, I'm sure the Player Association would be all for that.
Randy, how much did you as a player, and I don't know if it went on as much when you played, we're seeing more and more of the Niners will go to Denver and they'll practice against the Broncos before they play a game, or the Rams came to Napa and they had live scrimmages. How much do you get out of those live scrimmages in a preseason versus the games that we see that sometimes teams have opted to bubble wrap all their starters?
I think they're really invaluable. I think the teams that early on used to do that on a regular basis had a pretty good edge on other teams because that gives you those reps and the pictures against somebody else. You know, that's the hardest part about training camp is always you needed a different body to hit. You know, though, I mean, you're running into same old linebackers for 3 or 4 weeks, you can't wait to hit somebody different.
Sure.
And if you get to do that in practice and you get to do that in a situation that, you know, is going to look exactly like the end of the season, then it's more of that as you can possibly get. I would be all for, you know, one team week one team week three, and in between that have a preseason game week two and a preseason game week four before you get going. But, you know, having that, I think, would more than replace the preseason. And it would also, you know, and I don't think this is a major consideration, but it sure adds a hell of a lot of value to the season ticket holder who, you know, is getting, let's say, in this case, two less games that really aren't worth going to.
Randy Cross joining us here on 95.7 The Game. A lot of concerns surrounding first-round pick, number 2 overall, Nick Bosa. He's battling a high ankle injury. The team's hopeful that they'll have him back for week 1 at Tampa Bay, but he will not play again in the preseason. when it comes to the pass rusher position, if Bosa's healthy and ready to go, or healthy enough that he can play in week one, how difficult is that jump going to be from college to the pro? Is that a position that requires a large learning curve compared to some of the others?
Yeah, I think the main thing is going against adults, and adults who are, you know, markedly more athletic than the guys you went against in college. You know, there aren't too many sort of empty chairs in the NFL. They're pretty solid guys, even on the teams that aren't very good. The guys you're playing against are extremely good. You know, job number one, though, for a young player like that, I don't care if you just cashed a $12 million check or you're making what now is the minimum. You know, your number one job is to be available at all times. And you know, that's something that you have no control over. And to a degree, some of that is luck. But that's some of that also is something you got to have, you know, you got to see coming down the road as far as, you know, players' history. That's why these teams spend so much time on the physical evaluation of these players.
No question. Randy, with that being said, so if you are the San Francisco 49ers, you got young Nicky Bosa, and you're looking at, they're saying he probably ready for that it's going to take, this is just a 4-week injury minimum. How would you play him, or do you just say, God, against Tampa Bay, a team that you probably should beat, is he just a healthy scratch no matter what? Because like you talked about, you're playing against grown men, the timing, he won't be in pads until probably that week. So how would you, if you're the Niners, how would you look at this guy?
Yeah, there's one thing I don't think has changed much, Lo, and that is coaches are always of the opinion that when a player gets back, when he's able to get in pads and actually practice, the ideal game for him to be playing in is the one after that week. So let's say he gets in pads on, you know, Wednesday of the week before that opener, and well, probably the game he should be back for would be the one after that. And you know, rushing it probably doesn't pay off, you know, especially if it's anything. If you've got injuries that have anything to do with the muscle or any kind of connective tissue or anything like that, you want to err on the side of rest and making sure that things is as strong as possible.
Randy, the sexy position for the 49ers is going to be quarterback, and Jimmy Garoppolo and his timing with what his weapons are going to be this year. How much can that be duplicated in the practice sessions versus how much would you rather see a youngish quarterback play a couple of series in a preseason game?
Well, you know, I think you want to get your guy. You know, like I said, two games, maybe a half, quarter in one game, and a half in the opening series of the third quarter in another game, and you're ready to go. Let's go get it. So, you know, it's a whole bunch of games. There's not much value in that. Plus, you're not going to have the same guys with you and everything else. You know, I look at, you know, you look at last week. You guys threw the ball 37 times against the Cowboys. You know, that's probably a pretty good picture, percentage wise, of what you want to do during the regular season. But you know, it's three guys throwing the ball that you're hoping are all holding the clipboard or watching on TV.
Three-time Super Bowl champ, three-time Pro Bowler, former 49ers offensive lineman Randy Cross, kind enough to join us on the Dial Pad guest line here on 95.7 The Game. Randy, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for jumping on the show with us this morning. We greatly appreciate it.
No problem. Can't wait to see those young receivers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is definitely one of the most exciting storylines moving forward. It's funny what can happen during just a couple weeks of camp. The focus on Nick Bosa, the defense, the pass rush, not to say it's no longer there, but one preseason game later, everyone's looking at Jalen Hurd and Deebo Samuel, and suddenly it doesn't exactly look like a position of weakness anymore.
It really doesn't. Excuse me. You saw those two guys go out there and play, Jim. And the biggest thing that I took away from that, you see those guys going full speed, and you saw them in situation where the opportunity was given to them, and they didn't disappoint. You saw Hurd catch the ball. You know, you saw Hurd catch the ball at the 5-yard line or 7-yard line, put his head down and drag people in the end zone and took some shots getting on the way to the end zone. So you saw the want to. Some guys would just get the ball right there and they see two guys in front of them and they get low and they dive forward and just get as much as they can and they live to fight on another day. Not this guy. Jalen Hurd stayed up, took on the contact, kept turning his legs. You saw the ex running back come out of him, starts turning his legs to say, I'm getting in the end zone. You saw Debo on the end around, the reverse, make guys miss, pick up 14 yards. Then you saw an underthrown pass on that nine route, on the goal route, an underthrown pass. He comes back to the ball and goes up and gets it at the highest point and actually takes it away from the DB. So you saw the want-to. So I think when you're looking at these young guys and you wanted to see which guy can step up and make plays and show you the physicality on some of the sweet plays they did to try to run the ball, and you saw Hurd and you saw those guys crack down on the DBs and on the safety, not afraid of contact. So those are the things that made me excited when I see these two young guys that get drafted, and to me the want to was there.
How much are these reps in whether it's preseason games or scrimmages against another team, how much of those reps is Kyle Shanahan utilizing it to determine what he can do with the pieces he's got? It's one thing to draft a guy. I can look at all the tape I can see of a guy. He was a running back at this school. He was a wideout at this school. This guy has this type of speed. But until you get him on the field, you don't know what you really have.
You don't.
So, you know, you talk about running a reverse or seeing the way the guy takes on a tackler or two. How much is Shanahan using this to formulate what his real plan is? Right now, he's not showing you what he's going to do in the regular season, right? He's not showing you his whole hand. Right now, isn't he just trying to determine what he's got to work with, and then he'll play that hand once week one starts? So is he still trying to learn what Hurd can bring? Is he still trying to learn what Debo can bring, what Dante Pettis can do for him offensively? Or does he already know what those skills are?
Without doubt, he wants to see what these guys can do, and he wants to see what kind of heart they have. He wants to see how they run these routes. They want to see how they beat man coverage, and they know what they do in practice. And hell, we talked about it earlier. You know, Joe read about, hey, at practice, Hurd guys were getting upset with him because he's blocking downfield, and he's showing them that the physicality that he was bringing to the game. We heard that, but yet and still, we didn't have the opportunity to see that. And then once you saw it in the game, you're like, okay, that dog a hunt. You got to see that. You saw the physicality, saw the guy going in there, and you said, man, can he take that from what he has on the field at practice? Can he bring that same intensity to the game where guys are going to fight back? And you saw him do that. You saw, you know, Debo go down the line and go grab a ball. So, yeah, okay, at practice you might go do that, but can you do it in the game? Can you do it when the lights are on and it's now the quarterback's under duress and you're going to throw a jump ball, the DB's going to go get it, and are you going to just like not just wait on the ball and wait for the ball to get there and then try to wait for it to drop in your breadbasket? Are you going to go up in there and say, I'm going to go take that, I'm going to the highest point, I'm going to want this more than the defender? You don't see that maybe in practice. You got to see Debo actually go out and do that in a game. A lot of receivers, how many times, Joe, you see a receiver just waiting, DB runs into him, he's waiting for the ball to get there? Debo didn't do that. He went up and got it, went back for the ball. Those are things that you want to see guys. So that's what made me excited.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, let me throw something at you that could get you even more excited. This is a wild hypothetical that's out there, but it has to be addressed.
I love it.
Chris Long, former NFL defensive end, retired this offseason. Played with the Eagles, played with the Patriots. Where did he start? He started with the Rams, I want to say. I think he started with the Rams. Howie Long's son, obviously.
Yes.
One of Howie Long's
yes.
two sons that was in the NFL, the other being Kyle, offensive lineman for the Bears. All right, he's filling in for a writer on Sports Illustrated. So he's got a column up on Sports Illustrated right now. And again, he played for the Patriots, and he throws a hypothetical out there that he discusses. He lays out a full thing, and it starts on Tom Brady. And I'm just going to read. I'm going to read to you, so give me a minute here. Offensively, the second best player in Patriots franchise history matriculated to pool party heaven this offseason. Talking about Gronkowski. But on the other side of the ball, New England's best defense. New England's defense looks to be even better than where it left off in 19. Whether or not the Patriots win their final game this season, I expect Brady to play well. Tense moments may trigger the annual media insistence that the hoodie and number 12 will soon file for divorce. Usually they're wrong, but let's say they can no longer stay together for the kids. Let's say the largest unconfirmed rift in professional sports finally opens wide and the Patriots dynasty finds itself in the canyon below. Let's get even crazier and hypothesize that Tom would like to wear a new uniform at 43 years old. There's only one place I could see him going. Back to the Bay. And here's how it happens. The Pats shipped Jimmy Garoppolo out west in 2017 for the 43rd overall pick and have parlayed that bounty into six players with more picks to come. Garoppolo was once thought to be Brady's heir apparent, and maybe he is after all. Let's say Jimmy G has a modest year and looks like Tannehill 2.0. Next offseason, Brady hits the market and expresses interest in returning home to suit up for the team he adored as a teenager. San Francisco releases Garoppolo, and he ends up back in New England, where Belichick beautifully repurposes what's perceived as damaged goods. New England will have no choice as the 2019 Brady-led Pats will play too well to land them a high pick in the QB-rich draft, unless they can convert their cachet of picks into a top-10 prospect. The Italian Stallion leads the Pats to an unlikely Super Bowl berth, where he meets, you guessed it, the GOAT. Now, okay, that last part gets even crazier. Garoppolo back to the Patriots. He takes them to the Super Bowl. Brady comes here for the Niners at the end of his career. Takes them to the Super Bowl. Is there anything in there that you would even be willing to entertain at all? The idea that Brady is done with New England after this year, still wants to play, and because it doesn't work out with Garoppolo, and because the Niners move on, they would take a shot on Tom Brady.
I think that Long should pass that around, what he's smoking, and give that out. But honestly, that could be a great book. He should write a fiction book to be like, hey, this hypotheticals, and write it out. People would buy it. It'd be maybe a bestseller.
Whose guy's name could be Bob Trady?
Yeah.
Who's the greatest quarterback in 49ers history?
Well, that gets people riled up.
I know.
I'd say Joe Montana.
All right. And he finished his career as a 49er, right?
No.
No, he didn't. He finished as a Kansas City Chief wearing number 19. Why is it far-fetched to say Tom Brady, who is the next? He's in the discussion. It's as quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, although Bradshaw should be in the discussion. He never is. It's Montana and Brady.
It's probably Brady. Right.
Why is it so far-fetched to say he could play somewhere else to finish his career?
To play somewhere else, I don't think that's that far-fetched. I think him ending up with the Niners is completely far-fetched. That's the problem I have with what Long's writing. He lays out an interesting situation, but let's actually dive into the idea of Garoppolo not playing well and the Niners deciding to part ways. Financially, they can do that. We know that that's on the table. The contract is structured in such a way that if you wanted to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo after this season, you could, and it would be a minimal penalty. So you wouldn't have to worry about too much there.
That's good.
But then what are you going to do? Are you also firing Shanahan and Lynch? Because if you're not firing Shanahan and Lynch and they're going to bring in Brady, Brady's going to be here for what, one season? And then what do you do? Because now Shanahan and Lynch are going to be coming up on the end of their deals. Are you going to want to extend them if things aren't working out? Let's say Brady comes here, or let's say you part ways with Shanahan and Lynch and you bring Brady here. You're going to saddle the new coach with a 43-year-old Tom Brady?
You know what? If you can say to Tom Brady, give me 2 years, that would be years 4 and 5 of Shanahan Lynch. I could easily see if it doesn't work in those 2 years.
Who says no? I say no. Tom Brady would never put – he's not – I'm telling you guys. I really believe – I don't think that the guy would put on another uniform.
I agree with you, but in a scenario where it could happen.
This is such a hypothetical.
It is.
This is long.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this hypothetical – just one hypothetical too far?
But tell me where
does he go. Hypothetical too far. Sorry, Meryl Streep.
That's a good book. Yes. Does –
I'm sorry.
You're at the point where you're like, I'm not doing this, okay? I'm not doing this.
And that's
we do it every day.
That was my Ray Rattle, okay?
Yeah, there you go. I'm not. Yeah, Jim, you're not going to talk about it?
Jim, I'm not interested.
You're going to talk about that.
Jim, I'm not interested in it. Boy, Jim.
Okay, here's the deal. If you had
stupid.
To pick a team.
That's stupid, Jim.
Tell me another team, though, that surpasses the 49ers for him.
That he would play for?
Yeah. Does he go to Miami?
No.
Because he knows the head coach down there?
The only way he would continue playing outside of New England would be, again, for chances at championships. He's not going to go anywhere just for the sake of playing, and he's not going anywhere for money. So it would have to be a team that just needs a guy to come in and play smart football at the quarterback position.
Chicago. A team that...
Interesting.
That's an excellent call.
You asked me where would he go.
Because this is a make-or-break year for their guy.
Great defense. You've got the... They just drafted David Montgomery, the rookie running back out of Iowa State. He's going to be a beast. You pair him with Tariq Cohen. You get some wide receivers in there with what you've already got. That would be the type of team. It'd be tough for that arm at that age to work in that stadium in the winter. That would be tough. But, hey, you already
What's
see
What's New England, though? New England's is just as bad,
not
just as ugly.
Not as windy.
You on the lakefront.
You have to pierce through wind in that with that team. That's like playing in Buffalo. That's why when the Bills drafted E.J. Manuel, it's like, what are you doing? What were you doing? That was such a bad pick because E.J. didn't have the big arm. You need a Jay Cutler-like arm when you play in a place like Buffalo and you play in Chicago, which is why Jay Cutler played in Chicago. Like that, you need a huge arm for late in the year.
True.
So now Brady obviously smart enough that he can take the framework with what he's given and he can still make it work. But that would be the type of team. Filling in for Goff with the Rams,
right.
Something like that,
right.
If Goff didn't work out, it would have to be that. It'd have to be a team that the only reason he would keep playing would be to stack chips.
Denver.
Stack Vince's.
Get defense, like a Denver defense when Manning left there.
Yeah, that's.
But isn't this defense
right.
supposed to be that? Don't we think this defense has the potential to be that?
Which one, the Niners?
Yeah.
We can't make that assumption. We can't
you
do
just
that.
Told me that, who did you just tell me is going to have more sacks than, you told me Dee Ford and Nick Bosa are going to have more sacks than Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
Now that might happen because Khalil Mack's going to get doubled every game. But that doesn't mean, now you give me Mack and another Bear, I'll take that over.
Yeah, yeah,
but
so would I.
You know.
Duh.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not
duh.
The rules
you give
I
me
made.
Your. You give me. I know. I
duh.
Know. Exactly.
It's 2019. Goes ahead to do that.
I know. I'm just saying, if I'm building a scenario that Tom Brady has to play for somebody else,
did it give him more credence because it was like a former player who played with him? So when you listen at. Here's Long.
No,
you think that
that's what gets me worked up. I like Chris Long. He generally seems like a reasonable guy, and I know he's writing something, and he lays out an interesting scenario. Maybe that's just what we take this as. It's interesting, but we don't put a lot of weight behind it because I'm with you. I don't see him leaving New England. After the Garoppolo thing went that way,
right.
Why would you revisit that again and have another war? Just let him finish it out
exactly.
And move on so that we're done. Everybody has had enough of the Patriots. Everyone's had enough of them. Just die already. Not literally. not literally. I don't want to see the humans die. I want to see the dynasty die. It has been a fun run to root against them. But the AFC, I wonder how much have you loved the AFC over the last 20 years? You go back through, you've had the Super Bowls won by who in the last like 15 years? The Patriots, the Broncos with Manning, and the Colts with Manning. So it's really just two quarterbacks there. The Steelers got in on it. The Ravens grabbed one. Is there anyone I'm missing? No Chargers, no Chiefs, no Raiders, no Jaguars.
Seattle got grabbed one.
No, AFC.
That was
AFC.
AFC. Okay. They weren't in the AFC at the time, right?
Just teams winning the AFC.
Yeah.
Teams winning the AFC. The Bills, Dolphins, Jets, all out of there. The Bengals out of there. The Browns out of there. We already said Ravens, Steelers. We already mentioned the Colts. Texans don't do anything ever. Jaguars had the one good year, and then there was Tennessee. Like it's been four quarterbacks:
yeah.
Flacco, Roethlisberger, Manning, and Brady. That's it. For almost 20 years.
Right? Aside from the Philly win,
it was a great win. By the way,
it was an unbelievable win.
Probably
actually,
the
it was
best
one of,
Super Bowl ever.
Actually, did you ever watch the Philly special?
No.
Insight play. You know, like how they did the story on the. And then,
I have the T-shirt.
And who, I know, but who made the play call? Did you see how they made that? Did you see that feature?
Refresh me.
So they're coming down. They call timeout, and it was Nick Foles walks over to the sideline, looks at the head coach, and goes, "Philly special." And the look on the head coach, he like doubles back, and he goes, "Yeah, yeah, Philly special." It was the most unexpected like wordplay that was that happened at the moment that shocked everyone to the point where it was like, yeah, let's do this. It was like kids on the street corner drawing up a play in the dirt, and they ran it in the biggest game of the
but
year.
But why do you think Nick got that from? The Lord, he just, you got to realize, this guy's a believer, and he said,
that's
great. Philly special.
Oh, that's
he walked up to the coach and said, Philly special.
You watch that, the way it's called and the way it plays out.
Hold on. I'm not doubting that part. There's nothing there I'm doubting. You said something about God. That's the part I'm curious about. So you're telling me God said something to Foles. Foles passed it along to Peterson.
Yep, there you go.
Let me ask you, if you get the word from God, why do you even have to check with Peterson? He's just some moron standing around on the sideline.
Because
if God told you what to do, why don't you just, you got to go clear it with someone else?
Bible
says.
Does
God report to Peterson?
But God said, you know what? Obey those who have rule over you. So he was just following orders.
Nicely done.
Way to bring it back. Way to bring it back.
God.
But it's a really interesting
feature.
But hardly
feature. God is getting involved
Hallelujah!
In the Super Bowl.
You would love
he's
going to
pick a football game, he's going to pick that football game.
The greater point is, on Super Bowl Sunday, aside from that one game.
It's a great game.
We're all rooting for the Patriots. Unless you have a rooting interest in the team they're playing against, everyone roots for the Patriots.
No.
I root for the Patriots.
I don't think that's true.
Really?
That's a really good question. That is a really good question. All right, so take your team out of it. Whoever your personal team is, if it's the Patriots versus not your team, who are you rooting for?
You're rooting for the Patriots.
Who are you rooting for?
Well, it depends on who they're going against, because here's the thing. If you're going up against like a division rival, if you're going up against like, say, like
don't muddy the waters, Anna.
No,
don't muddy the waters.
This is what she does.
I know
she's going to find a way to give you 16 teams she would root for and 16 she would not.
Like if it's the Patriots versus say the Cowboys, I'm probably going to go for the Patriots that one time. I just don't like
you
the
don't
Cowboys.
Like the Cowboys.
No.
So it's Patriots and Lions.
No, she's Patriots because when it was Patriots Eagles, because I like the Eagles, she had the root for the Patriots.
That's
so she's
a troll.
It's what you said. She always roots for the Patriots. And yeah, and this guy too, but he loves Brady. The Patriots are actually his team.
Be honest, I do love Brady, but I no.
Thank you.
Listen, no.
The truth finally comes out.
Who do you love more, LeBron or Brady?
Calm down,
Brady.
Coz.
Wow,
listen.
That's a lot of loving.
Time out.
That's a lot of man love.
No, no, no. Listen to me. I do. Against them in the Super Bowl. I get tired. Hell, I get tired of them. They beat me. I get tired of them.
They beat you a bunch. There are like a bunch of big games. They came to San Diego and beat you, and they also beat you at Foxborough.
That's personal.
Lost to them like everywhere.
I didn't mean to bring
good
this
weather,
upon
bad
you,
weather.
Yeah. I beat them in Foxborough. We beat them too in Foxborough. We beat them.
That's a regular season game. No one cares about those.
So
that's
like
when you beat the Rams that year in the regular season.
Yeah, so I don't root for them. I root for Tom to play well. Tom to play well. Don't get hurt. But true friend, hell, I'm tired of him.
Did you root for the Rams last year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I rooted for the – no, I didn't actually.
See,
no,
that's what I mean.
Nope,
she has no idea.
In your face.
Nope,
she has no idea.
So I'm right.
Stop. Oh, my God.
Stop.
Stop.
I'm right.
No,
and,
I didn't root for the Rams.
Just stop. Just –
no, it's division.
You are like that character in Legion. It's a guy and a girl as one character. They share the same like existence. That's you. It's just consistently conflicted with everything going on in your own brain.
Yeah, she's just like, she goes, oh yeah, I was Rams.
She has a reason
every Super Bowl she has rooted against the Patriots, but when she's done with the reason, she tells you she rooted for the Patriots.
I was going to root for the Eagles until you kept harping. It's like, okay, can't do it. Just for Joe.
Yeah,
wow.
You were going to, but you didn't. You rooted for the Patriots and all of them.
God, this is,
she'd probably
I feel
root for
terrible
the Patriots
about
over
myself.
Her Niners.
I feel terrible about myself right now.
Don't feel terrible. It's who you are. Just embrace it.
I know.
It backs Coz's point. So you're
saying people
are rooting for the Patriots.
Yes.
Why,
if it's not your team, because we appreciate greatness. They are the greatest thing to happen to the National Football League on and off the field since the year 2000.
You weren't happy when the Giants beat them? Honestly.
No.
I grew up with a lot of bias there.
Right, but
I had a lot of money going the wrong way.
But I understand
that. Tyreek trapping the ball on his helmet? No.
I hated that. That's the worst play in Super Bowl history.
Yes. You root for greatness.
I rooted for my Giant friends to be sad. I was rooting against them.
That's
strictly
a whole different
rooting,
form
I was
of
strictly
therapy.
Hating that day.
So, Coz, I don't know if this is true, because you didn't root for Floyd Mayweather, greatness. You wanted him to lose.
What was I don't remember us talking about this, but I'll go with your theory.
No, the boxer who was undefeated, Floyd Mayweather, you didn't root for him. A lot of people didn't.
I don't even know if I was involved in the fight, but go ahead. I'll stay with your theory.
So my point is, you can't say everyone just roots for greatness, because that's a lie. People want to
about the NFL. Don't you change your topic.
Fascinating question. I want people to weigh in on this. 888-957-9570. If it's not your team in the Super Bowl, and the Patriots are there, who are you rooting for? 888-957-9570. See, I'm the outlier. I can't really answer. I gamble so much on that game. I'm really just rooting for my wallet. Sometimes it's old Tommy. When the first kid was born, he was born Thursday night. The Super Bowl was New England and Atlanta. And I've tested both children. Both children were born on the nights of Warriors games. So I unloaded on the Warriors both nights. The Warriors covered the spread and won both nights. They're both lucky. But the first one has been incredible. So I win that Warrior game. We go into the Super Bowl. I hadn't done much research because, you know, the baby's coming. And I'm looking at this. I got to bet something on this. I was like, the kid just delivered the Warriors game. So I unloaded on the Patriots. Down 28-3. I'm a dad now. Who cares? Guess what? Storming back for the win. Then I took the kid to the track like eight months. I never went at the track. I won every single race.
That's impossible.
Six races, and I never went at the track. Six races, won every single race when I took him out to the track. Haven't been back since because I'm scared.
Let's have Joe Lowe and Dibs Day out at the track when they open it up again.
Seriously.
That's a fun day.
Yeah, bring the kids to the track day.
No, I'm not kidding.
That sounds like that will fly.
I brought my daughter to the track.
Bring the kids to the track day.
You can. You do it under the guise of kids like horses. Take them and watch them walk them around the paddock. Everyone's having fun looking at the ponies. Daddy's throwing a couple shekels.
Dad, where's your shirt? Phone lines are lit. 888-957-9570. Back with that and more. Bay Bridge Series game number 2. We got your preview. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.